Hey guys,
I'm Hallie
and I'm Jamie
and this is Literal Nonsense.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Hello, hello. We are back with an unexpected book that we didn't know we were doing.
Yeah, seriously.
Before we get into this, I have like a little pet cemetery update, which is really funny. So since we read the book, last night, me, Chelsea, and Ryan watched the new Pet Sematary. So we saw that movie, whatever, but obviously they changed a few things. We'll chat about it, but same kind of premise. And so today we went to his best friend's house, and, he has three kids, his best friend. And so one of his kids is my husband's goddaughter. And their dog ran away and we were looking for the dog. It was like a whole shit show. Anyways, point being, I had the goddaughter and we were walking up the street looking. And her little scooter broke and she was like, oh, I'm going to like run back to the house, whatever. So it was like, you know, decently far. It was the same side of the street though. And so she's running back. So I just called to my husband and I was like, hey, Ryan, like just grab her, you know, like, you know, she's running toward you. When I tell you, because like we watched the movie last night, how fast he ran to this child, like, and I literally afterwards was like, were you nervous with her on the street? And he was like, bro, I just kept thinking of the kid getting hit by the truck.
Oh my god.
And I was like, Ryan, like, she was running like to you, like she wasn't gonna cross the street. And he was like, you never fucking know.
I mean, yeah, valid.
No, I know, but it was like legit, like he was running like how you would imagine Lewis Creed was running. Like sprinting. And I was like, oh my god, you're ridiculous. But it was endearing. Anyways, funny. And speaking of the Pet Sematary movie, so we actually had one of our listeners write a request. They want us to watch, I don't know, they didn't specify which Pet Sematary, but the movies, and do like a kind of book versus movie review. So we're gonna watch both of the movies and talk about them versus the book versus each other. Mm-hmm. So that'd be fun. So I did my homework and watched the new one last night. We're going to watch the original together. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do a little bonus episode for you guys.
So cute.
So cute of us. So we're just like giving you guys all the content. Bonus content, extra episodes. I mean, we're just feeling it's good. It's
inspired.
Spooky season. Yeah, we're inspired in this fall weather. It makes me happy.
Speaking of fall weather, I really want like a cup of tea right now.
Mmm, that sounds good. I want, I bought pumpkin bread today to make.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, we roasted pumpkin seeds last night too.
Amazing! Oh my god,
so yummy. They came out so good, but like I'm the only one who likes them, so like it's fine. But sick. I feel like so cute and cozy.
Yeah, I feel yeah. I'm feeling cute and cozy also. I think I'm just gonna later on. We went to the store today too, and I bought 3 pumpkin spice candles. And Ryan goes, do you need all those? And I was like, yes, I do. Yes, I really do. I need them in our bedroom downstairs and living room. So The smell must permeate the entire home.
The smell, yes.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, this is a necessity actually. And yeah, so we had seen this book called Hidden Pictures by Jason Recalock.
Recalic or something?
That sounds right. Okay.
Wow, and this is terrible. We're fucking talking about this book. We don't even know who it's by. Sorry, bro.
I wrote Jason. Let me Google. Yeah, I was just doing the same thing. Hidden Pictures.
Jason Recalic.
Okay. Yeah, we were on it. So, anyways, we've seen a bunch of people reading this book. The New Jersey Book Club is reading it for October as well. Just lots of people are reading it. And it's been on my TBR list for quite a while. Because I had just seen it a lot.
Interesting. That's crazy because you were just like, we're going to read this book and we're going to do it for the pod. And I was like, oh, okay. But you supplied me with the PDF, so that was nice.
I did to give you a free PDF. And I was just like, it seems all right. So do you want to give us a little synopsis, Halgal? You
sure.
Can synopsis today.
Okay. So basically the story is about a girl named Mallory. She's 21 and she has just gotten out of rehab because she is an opioid abuser, or was.
Indeed.
So anyways, she's like, I don't know, like almost a year sober or a year sober. And mm-hmm. her sponsor finds her this job interview to work as a live-in nanny for like this mm-hmm. well-to-do family.
Mm-hmm.
And right off the bat, it was giving housemaid vibes.
Yes.
But as the book went on, it was definitely like spookier housemaid.
Yes.
So anyway, she goes for the interview. The husband is like being mad fucking weird, but again, the wife is like super sweet, super nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like worried that she's not gonna get the job. Surprisingly, she gets the job and she moves in with the family. She meets the little boy. His name is Teddy. And Teddy likes to draw, but
it's like a new hobby.
Yeah, it's new. And you know, they're like typical for like a 5-year-old kid. And but then a few of them have like this fucking demonic looking woman in them. And Mallory's like, what is this? And the mom is like, oh, like she kind of like brushes it off. And she says it's Teddy's imaginary friend, Anya. So for majority of the book, it's told directly through Mallory's experience. It's a mm-hmm. one, it's a first person narrative, I guess mm-hmm. is what it's called, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So really we're learning the story just through her, which is fine. I mean, I like multiple POVs, but
yeah,
I felt like for this book, like it was okay that it was just Mallory.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, but boy, shit hits a fan like really fucking quick.
Yeah. And what I also, just from an artistic standpoint, I guess, the author includes the drawings that the kid does.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the book goes on, all of a sudden these drawings go from like a 5-year-old drawing to like Picasso has joined us. And they're like fucking, I don't even know how to describe them. Like these like hyper realism photos.
Yeah. But they also get, like, progressively darker, too.
Yeah. Honestly, though, just before we even start talking about the photos, part of me wishes that they didn't get hyper-realistic because I thought the kids' drawings were way scary.
Yeah.
Like, little kid drawings. The first drawing that came up in this whole book, right? So she gets the job. As Hallie just said, she's moving in and she's, like, looking through his drawings. And he includes, like, 5 drawings. It's the kid with the fucking bunny rabbit. It's yada, yada, yada. And the last one is, like, there's this demonic ass woman standing next to him. When I tell you I, like, physically flinched, I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know, it really, like, scared the shit out of me when I was reading it.
That's so funny.
I was
like, yeah, things are not going to bode well.
Yeah, anytime a kid draws something, kids are fucking creepy as in general. Yeah.
I think, well, I do specifically, though, like, personally, I do like horror with like a supernatural presence. Like, I'm not a gory person. Like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, not my cup of tea.
I agree with you. I enjoy them better, but at the same time, like, the ones that are like no supernatural element scare me more because I'm like, oh, someone could really do that, you know. But I do preference like spooky, ghosty.
Wait, this is such a random like
witchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your favorite scary movie? Do you have one?
I don't know. I like just in general, I feel like the classic movies, but like what reminds me and gives me nostalgia would probably be like Friday the 13th type things or like Halloween. But I will say last night, after watching the new Pet Sematary, and I like looked up something like a clip from the original, and I was like, oh yeah, like I think just like 80s, 90s scary movies, just like even how they were filmed, just like hit for me.
Yeah.
So any of those? How about you?
I mean, I think the Insidious movies are my favorite.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Like, I mean,
they're scary.
Yeah, no, I'm not into that because they are scary. give me like the nostalgic, like old slasher film kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know what? Just give me Apple Crisp and some Harry Potter.
Yeah. I mean, we recently watched Night of the Living Dead, and I've never seen that movie before. But I liked the vibe of the movie, like, how it was filmed, like, because it came out, like, I don't know, like, 60s, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's something like inherently
spooky.
Not just spooky, but like, I don't know, I guess just like
it gives a vibe.
Yeah, and I don't know like the word to conceptualize it.
But I could visually see what you're saying in my head.
Right, you know? Anyways, yeah. Okay, that was a derailment.
It's okay. Sorry. It was on topic. It was still spooky. Anything spooky season, I'm happy to oblige you. Yeah, so okay, so this girl gets this job. Right off the bat, I was into it. I will say, though, like, it's always a nanny trope, and it's always they're a convict, they're an ex-drug addict.
Yeah.
You know, like, this so is all like, they got.
Unreliable, essentially.
That, but also, like, you know, they stick with these weird conditions because they can't really do anything else. You know, like, they're getting paid cash mm-hmm. with a family. Like, you know, maybe they can't get, like, a government job. You know, whatever.
Yeah. But I think it also paints them as, like, an unreliable narrator.
Okay, that's, yes. Not to me, because, like, you're in their head. So, like, I feel like they're reliable. But characters in the story
yes.
inherently don't, like, believe them. They're like, well, she's an ex-drug addict. Oh, she's an ex-convict. Like,
yeah.
And as we get going, I think that's intentional on the other characters' parts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you almost need, unfortunately, you almost need the nanny to be an ex-drug addict or ex-convict to mm-hmm. make this work.
Yeah.
And they're young, you know, so.
Yeah, young, impressionable. Wait, so like, we talked to like very little, but like,
mm-hmm.
the place this book went.
Oof.
Is wild.
Yeah, no, we'll like, dive.
I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about, I guess, the beginning, because I think the beginning was not predictable, but it was following what I expected of this book, right? Mm-hmm. So, again, the dad's a dick in the beginning, and then he gets super nice, like, right off the bat, and we were both very skeptical. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what I thought was happening, so... Of course, Mallory, she meets the fucking gardener. Shocker, you know? Whatever. Now, as the book is going on, right, the beginning, as Hallie mentioned the synopsis, Teddy's drawing all these fucked up pictures. And what's the lady's next door? Mitzi? Yeah, yes, her name's Mitzi. Mm-hmm. We find out from the lady next door that in this house, Mallory's living in the backyard in, like, almost like a tool shed. They've, like, renovated to, like, a guest house. Okay, fine. We find out from Mitzi that way back when there's like this town lore that this woman was killed in the tool shed and, you know, it's her ghost and all this stuff. So when Mallory discloses to Mitzi that Teddy's drawing all these pictures, we're like, oh, it's the lady who was killed. Mind you, her name was Annie, his best friend's name or his best friend, his imaginary friend's name is Anya. So we're like, okay, like the ghost of Annie mm-hmm. is Anya, and she is communicating what happened to her because it's a cold case. No one knows mm-hmm. how she was killed. I was into that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Were you like into this? Like we were feeling it.
Yeah, like I thought that like I was like, oh, it's kind of like a thriller mystery, which
yeah,
you know, we haven't really had like from the very limited thrillers that I've read. I mean, mm-hmm. I've read like a handful. I don't know. Thriller isn't, like, my go-to category, but I feel like there's not, like, there's mystery, but it's not, like, solving a crime mystery.
Yeah, like, I was into the supernatural ghost wanted us to solve her murder.
Yeah, and, like, I thought for sure the kid was just possessed.
Yeah, by this ghost of Annie Anya.
Yeah.
I was, so clearly by how we're talking, guys, that's not what fucking happened.
Yeah.
But that's very much so the vibe the book gave. And you know what? Honestly, I appreciate that it was leading us somewhere that it literally wasn't going. So
yeah, no, literally. You flip one page and it was like, what just happened?
Yeah. So pretty much the whole story is this. Now, Teddy starts drawing more like detailed photos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, hyper-realism, as I mentioned. And we find out that Annie, who was murdered, was an artist. Okay, amazing. Also perfect, you know? Matching up. We're solving this murder.
Yeah, like all the stars are aligning here.
Now,
it was almost too good, you know what I mean?
Probably, looking back, yeah, it should have been. But now, there's some tension building with the parents and with Mallory, because she's saying, you know, this is what's happening. It's the ghost. It's this. And they're like, are you back on drugs?
Well, I think it's important also to note that, like, the parents are, like, super, like, scientific, right?
Yeah. Like, they literally say, like, don't know religion talks.
Yeah. Like, they're atheists. You know, everything's backed by science. So they don't believe in ghosts or anything like that. And I think the mom is a psychiatrist, right? She works at
a drug rehab, I think, as well.
Yeah. And then the dad is, like, in some, like, IT shit. But, that was, like, set from the beginning. So, like, the fact that, you know, Mallory thinks that the kid is being possessed by a ghost and the ghost is trying to, like, communicate with them to help, like, find her and, like, solve her case, they're, like, not about it.
Yeah, no, and they hate it. And, like, from the beginning, you know, you're getting a vibe. Like, the mom's back at work, but they're very child psychology-ish, right? Like, they're like, oh, you know, we're trying to make Teddy independent. You know, he goes to the bathroom by himself. He changes himself. You know, we let him have quiet time. Like, you know, they're very, like, woke parents, mm-hmm. you could say. Which I was like, okay, white suburban family. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it was pointed out, all those little things I just mentioned. But very, like, subtly, like, how I just mentioned them to you. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this is how they are as a family. And you're like, wonderful. And Mallory's not using drugs, just to clarify that.
Yeah.
So it's sad because she's like, no, like, something's fucking wrong with this kid.
Yeah, no one believes her.
And except, eventually, what's his name?
Wow.
I literally want to say Enzo, and that's from Housemaid. Like, that's not his name.
No. Isn't it, like, doesn't it start with a J?
Definitely doesn't start with a J.
No?
Okay, I'll look it up. Well, I will say this. So aside, her gardener boy toy, he believes her, but I will also say that this really starts coming to a head and, like, I don't know, shifting when you find out that Adrian. She puts Adrian, that's not at all, thank you, I don't know how you found that so quickly, I was still trying, good job. So Adrian believes her, and he's like a college kid, right, whatever. Now this all starts coming to a head when Mallory's like, okay, this kid is fucked up, and, like, he's drawing these crazy pictures. Now, mind you, the pictures are showing up, like, on her doorstep in her little house. And she's like, what the fuck? So she puts, like, a little camera in Teddy's room. And, like, he literally, like, his eyes roll back in his head. And he's, like, fucking being possessed. Like, legitimately. Like, that's, like, a legit thing. It's not like, oh, we can explain this away. Like, no. This kid's, yes, correct. Being possessed by a fucking ghost. And I was like, huh.
Yeah. So then there's, like, this big also blow up.
Yeah.
About it, because Mallory goes to his parents and they take away all of Teddy's, like, drawing stuff, and they're encouraging Teddy to take a break from drawing. So Teddy's not drawing these pictures, and he also, like, every other sentence is saying, like, I know Anya's not real. She's just my imaginary friend. But mm-hmm. In the meanwhile, Mallory is still seeing these photos pop up, like you mentioned, like, in her
house. And she hears Teddy, like,
even after conversations.
And, like, she hears him drawing. And then, like, so she, like, knows, but he's not showing anyone pictures anymore. Mm-hmm. So she's like, what the fuck is going on? And now these photos, as Hallie mentioned, are getting, like, increasingly more graphic. And so basically the story is unfolding that this woman was murdered and, like, dragged through the forest and, like, mm-hmm. buried, not alive, but buried. And so, again, we're very much like, this is Annie, and she's telling us how she was killed.
Mm-hmm. All the meanwhile, she's also pretending that she's a Penn State college runner to Adrian, yeah. Like, her new boyfriend, who comes from, like, a very well-to-do family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all his family friends, like, all think that she's, like, a Penn State student. And Mallory's like, well, fuck, like, I'm going to have to come clean about this at some point. But everything comes to a head when, now this is where the book turned for me. Like, this is when I was like, oh yeah, shit is going to go downhill now real quick.
Yeah, because at the beginning part, it was like, I will say this just before we even get to, like, the climax. This book definitely for me was a page turner the whole way through.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I read this book in a day, literally. Mm-hmm. It was fast-paced. It was going. I appreciated that. I agree with you. It was slowly building steam, mm-hmm. but where you're getting to right now is definitely as well the part for me that I was like, oh, okay, we're going.
Yeah, so previously in the book, Teddy and Mallory bond over both being left-handed, which I thought was like random, but as we know, things are never random, correct? So anyways, she's taking care of Teddy. Teddy goes upstairs for quiet time, and they had agreed that they were going to cook this like really nice elaborate dinner for the parents, right? Because Mallory was like, oh, they do so much for me, like yada yada, she wanted to do it as like a thank you kind of thing. So the bitch passes out in the living room, and when she wakes up, there's drawings all over the walls. Yep. And I was like, all right, so now we have multiple possessions.
Well, because at this point as well, like Hallie mentioned, the mom took all of Teddy's art supplies and he can't reach them, like physically, he's a child. Yeah. And she also gave him like an iPad to play with. So now like Anya, Annie, whoever's possessing this kid, like can't use him as like the vessel.
Yeah.
So they're like, Mallory, you're up.
Yeah. And what's funny is because like Mallory is like, I didn't do this. Like I can't draw. I'm left-handed. And she had like all the soot from like the
charcoal. The charcoal, yeah.
Like on her right hand. And so she's like, oh, fuck. Like, how am I going to get rid of all this shit before, you know, in the next 10 minutes when his parents come home? Well, you know, suffice to say that they were not thrilled. And
yeah, they come home and there's like, she doesn't get rid of anything. Like, she can't, you know.
No. But then also, is this before or after the dad is in her house?
I don't remember. We'll talk about that after. I'm not sure where that happens timeline wise.
Yeah, but we need to talk about that because that whole thing was fucking stupid. But
that's, yes, well, yeah. So yeah, that's like almost like a side plot. But yeah. So Mallory, they come in and they're like pissed that she just drew all over their fucking walls, and she's going on a date with Adrian, and so he shows up to pick her up and comes into this disaster of the whatever
shit show.
And so of course the parents are like, "Were you using?" Because this is craziness behavior.
Of course.
And he's like, "Using what?" Her like boyfriend. And they tell her, you know, or tell him she's an ex-drug addict, you know, she used to do like opioids and heroin, like whatever.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Aren't you a Penn State? Like, don't they test you at Penn State?" And the mom is like, "What the fuck are you talking about? She's never been to Penn State ever, you know?" And I felt bad for her in this moment because, you know, that it was not an innocent lie. She was actually going to come clean to Adrian at dinner that night. I felt bad because she was like, oh, that's how my life should have been. Like, I was like, I almost got a scholarship. Or no, she did get one. They just revoked it because she got addicted to opioids, obviously. And so I did feel bad for her because if she truly was going to come clean to Adrian at dinner that night, I think that he would have been like, okay, you know.
But then also, too, they also talk about, you know, there's also this mystery surrounding, like, why is Mallory a drug addict at 21?
Correct. I mean, yeah.
We'll
get into that as well.
Which I was like, interesting.
I was also like, yeah, because that's young, you know, which does happen. But she implies the whole book that there's also a reason. Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. I felt like the reason was kind of dumb.
I agree. So let's talk about the first subplot, which is the dad. So as we mentioned, the dad was very rude the first day, but then like super nice, not veering on inappropriate at all. You know, would occasionally come out and like swim in the pool. And if she was swimming, he's like, oh, you can stay. But I felt like it was like fine. It was friendly. I think as a reader, you're always like, when it's the dad and the babysitter, the nanny, you're always like, you know, well, but he wasn't being inappropriate.
Well, that was a thing, right? And I was like, I really hope that this book doesn't, like, follow that trope.
Well,
they didn't, and it didn't, like, point blankly, but, like, at the end, you know, it, like, all came out that, like, he had these feelings for her. But, like, I felt like it was just, like, misplaced.
Agreed. And
like,
so
it wasn't integrated well.
Agreed. Because, yeah, all of a sudden, nothing was happening, not inappropriate at all. And then all of a sudden, he's in Mallory's, like, little room, shed house, whatever. And he's, like, passed out on her bed drunk. And he's, like, saying all this shit. Like, oh, we had a fight and blah, blah. And, like, he's trying to kind of come on her. And you're kind of like, where is this coming from?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'll take care of you. And
yeah, and I'm like, well, do we discuss this? Like,
yeah. I mean, she was, like, very professional. And she, like,
she was. And honestly, he wasn't even, like, horrible. Like, once she was, like, go back home, he's like, okay. You know, like, he wasn't really, like, you know, given, like, horrible rapey vibes. but it was like weird.
Himself on her.
Yeah, but it was weird this happened. Yeah,
and then like it was just like so random too. Like the book like mentions that there was like a tissue like on her nightstand, and she was like, "Ew, like I don't know, like what's that?"
Yeah,
about?
Was that like was he jerking off? Like what was going on? Is that what that implied? I also didn't know.
I felt like that was unnecessary.
Is that what that meant?
I don't know.
What do you think?
I mean, logically, that's what I thought when I was reading. Because didn't she mention that, like, some of her bras were, like, on the floor or something?
Oh, in the bed with him.
Yeah.
Ew.
Weirdo.
Yeah. If I came home, for whatever reason, I was a live-in nanny, and the dad was drunk in my bed, surrounded by my bras, and there was a tissue on the nightstand, I would actually vomit.
And you hate vomiting.
I do hate vomiting, and I would vomit. Ew, your bras? Like, first of all, okay, I'm not even saying, like, you should get underwear because that's equally as gross. But, like, what is a bra? Sniffers. Right. Like, at least that's, like, something. A bra?
I don't know. And, like, also...
The fuck?
Also, too, this whole time we were reading the book, up until we recorded Pet Sematary,
mm-hmm.
I thought this book was written by a woman. Until you're okay. Like Jason, I was like, wait, Jason.
You're like, that's a crazy lady name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that vibe. Yeah. So I don't know. So anyway, so that's kind of like a subplot. Just keep in the back of your head as we like come to the conclusion of this book that the dad did that randomly. It was random, but I guess if it ended the way that our boy Jason wanted it to, it made kind of sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah. So it definitely had to be before the whole blow up thing, because after that, like, she got fired. And so, like, she only had, like, 2 or 3 days left, and then she would leave.
So they fire her, right? Oh, well, hold on, because also, her and the neighbor do a seance.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing really came of that aside. They found, like, she was speaking gibberish. Like, the letters were all crazy, but Anya was possessing Mallory. Like, she swears. You get gibberish, whatever. Okay, fine. And so, as this book is wrapping up, Mallory's getting fired, and Adrian is helping Mallory, and he believes her before the big blow up of, like, she's a drug addict. But then this book ends with she had called and found some, I think it was like a grandchild or like a niece or a great niece of Annie in a retirement home, like, nearby.
Well, yeah, because Adrian was helping her. Like, after, you know, everything came out, like, he showed up at her door and was like, I believe you, like, let's just, like, figure this out kind of
because
thing.
Because a picture showed up at his house.
Yeah. And so...
So this lady calls them back from the retirement home. And Adrian's like, you know what? I'll go talk to her. Like, you're getting fired and have to move out. Like, yeah. I'll go to the retirement home.
But they were also going to do, like, a big dinner as, like, her send-off. Yes. She was supposed to leave the next day.
So she's like, I can't miss that. I must stay.
That whole thing was sucked. Like, that sucked. That whole thing.
Yeah. So then Adrian goes to the retirement home. Okay. So now Adrian, again, I don't know what I was like, okay, we're going to find out what happens from this mm-hmm. woman, Annie's great niece or whatever. And so this is where the book starts getting like, what?
Well, we also missed that the police are over at Mitzi's place.
Yeah, because Mitzi's dead.
Yeah. So they found Mitzi dead out in the woods.
To be honest, whether that happened or not wouldn't have really affected what, you know.
No, like, but, like,
the outcome, it's relevant, yeah, but, I guess.
Well, yeah, at the end, we find out why.
I'm just saying, like, Mitzi could have or could not have died, and it wouldn't have affected, like, the big revelations, I guess. For me, it didn't really, I didn't care that Mitzi died.
I didn't care either, but, like,
when it added find
out why she died, like, the whole series of events towards the end was mm-hmm. just, like, I don't know, I just felt like it was so, like, mishmash together. I mean, it was definitely, yeah, like, thought
that's
through,
what I'm saying.
But it was, like, it was
reaching. Almost like so much was going on and so little time, like, Mitzi's dead, this, that, and I was like, wow, that's why I almost like forgot Mitzi died, because like all the other stuff for me was like overpowered that. Well, and
yeah,
because
you get like slapped in the face with like 5 different like reveals and things. You're like, what?
Yeah, okay, so Hallie's right, so Mitzi is dead. Okay, so now Adrian calls from the retirement home, and again I'm like, okay, cool, we're gonna find out from Anya, Annie's relative,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And so now, all of a sudden, the first, like, what? He's like, oh, she's black. Which I was like, what the fuck? Like, why does that matter? Whatever. But like,
no, because they thought she was like, Russian. Yes,
exactly. Exactly. So like, but I'm saying like, not why does this matter? But I was like, wow, that's very like, just he just dropped that on you. Like, oh. And because like, even in the book, Mallory's like, wait, she's black? Like,
well, it is her great granddaughter.
Like, well, right. But so then we find out the truth about Annie. Mm-hmm. So she was a Russian. I guess
she was Hungarian.
Hungarian. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Very white, Scandinavian-esque looking human.
Slavic.
Yes, very Slavic.
Scandinavian is on the other side.
Well, Scandinavian's the same vibe to me in my head. Like the pale, like Danish and like Russian are like not the same, but they're like, you know, pale skinned. Like they're not Italians. I don't know. Anyways, I digress. Whatever. So we find out. Point okay. fucking being, regardless, doesn't matter. This Hungarian woman came. She's staying at the cousin's house, which is why she's living in the back house. She's an artist. She paints back there, whatever. So she falls in love with a black man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they talk about how the town back then was not progressive, obviously.
Yeah.
She gets pregnant from this man. Now, apparently the town over where the black man came from, they'll, like, accept them. And she was like, I'm in love with him, whatever. And so she left and, you know, went and lived with him, had the baby, had a happy life. Now, her cousin, the one who was, like, housing her, mm-hmm. was, like, you know, mortified by this scandalous behavior.
Yeah, because he was, like, a well-to-do person in the town. So he didn't want, like, you know, like, to be reflected poorly on him.
Yeah, pregnant out of wedlock with a black man. Gasp, yeah. You know.
God forbid.
God for fucking bid. So he took pig's blood and framed her murder.
Even though she's so because alive.
Because that's better than her just simply falling in love. Okay, whatever. So yeah, it turns out from this great niece, she was like, yeah, I grew up with Annie. Like, she was great. She died when she was like 90 years old. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, then who the fuck is writing to us?
Yeah.
So Adrian's like, yeah, that's literally not. Yeah. So Adrian's like, that's not what's happening. And Mallory's like, okay. And then Mallory starts telling us, the reader, like, oh, I'm having all these revelations at once. And I'm like, well, what's the other ones, Mallory? Because I only know that Annie's not murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of year, at the, like, firing barbecue they have, Teddy, like, asks Mallory for a bathing suit? He's showering? Is that how this occurs?
So they're getting, like, they have, like, a little, like, a outdoor shower to rinse off after the pool so they can go inside to have the dinner because the mom was like, oh, like, dinner's ready. And the cops are over at Mitzi's house, but, like, the shower is, like, over there by the fence. So Mallory brings Teddy to go to the shower to, like, rinse off. And Mallory's talking to the cop, and she's like, oh, like, you know, did you find anything? Like, da-da-da-da-da. And then Teddy's like, Mallory. And she, like, opens the door, and Teddy's like, oh, like, is the cop, like, gonna come get us? Like, are we in trouble?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's weird to be asking, like, what, you know? So she closes, like, whatever. She says goodbye to the cop. She brings Teddy inside. They're eating.
Oh, and also, real quick, in this, as she's realizing things, too, the family had just moved back from Barcelona. And in this same conversation of like her opening the shower door and talking to Teddy, whatever, he mentions, like, oh, I want to go on a plane one day. And she's like, well, we're on a plane. And he's never been, and he's like, I've never been on a plane. And she's like, yes, you were. And he's like, no, we drove from Barcelona. And she was like, no, the fuck you didn't. And so she's also like, things are starting to add up in her head because she's like, well, you would have had to take a plane. It's also like 8 hours. Like, he remember that.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, we just went under like a tunnel, like blah, 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 blah. Like, oh, we drove, I swear. And he's like old enough to like, she's like, oh, yeah, they probably just drove.
Mm-hmm.
But from where? So that was also real quick before you got to like the dinner scene.
Yeah. So whatever they eat, Teddy goes to bed, and then Mallory grows some brass balls, and she goes up to the mom, and she was like,
right,
why didn't you tell me Teddy was a girl? And I was like, what the fuck?
Hallie,
I was like, what?
When I tell you, I literally was like, I'm sorry.
Because then at that point, I was like, where is this going? Like, I was really confused.
Right. I was like,
how are we saving this book now? I was like, is this going to be some stupid shit, you know?
I also, just as a little digression before we continue on, why do these people always confront the fucking psychos.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Clearly, right? They, and then she also is like, oh, like, you guys never went to Barcelona. All these things.
Yeah, she was like, where did you come from?
If you're adding all this up, okay, this family is lying about their kid. He's clearly a girl. They didn't move from Barcelona. That's enough for me to be like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But and I'm not confronting you about it.
Okay, but also, the whole conversation itself was really weird because, like, Mallory's, like, you know, calling them out on all these inconsistencies. And, like, between Ted and the mom, what's her name?
Caroline?
Yeah, between Caroline and Ted, like, they're having, like, these little side conversations. Like,
yes.
Ted's like, just tell her, Caroline. And Caroline's like, Ted, I'm not dealing with this. And then, it's just, like, these weird little comments. Mallory's like, what are you talking about?
And then doesn't fucking Ted hit her over the head with a bottle?
Yeah, like, she gets freaked out because obviously, you know, these people are not who they say they are. And she's, like, going to leave and he fucking throws, like, a bottle of whiskey at her head. And she fucking passes out.
So then she wakes up in her cabin tied to the bed and gagged. And I'm like, wow. The fact that this little kid is a girl and they didn't go to Barcelona has really escalated quite far.
Yeah, seriously.
And then this is when Caroline comes clean.
Yeah, so essentially what we find out is
I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, so Caroline and Ted were trying to have a kid and they couldn't have one.
Which I know Hallie loves this. She's like, who cares?
Literally. It's always like it's always revolves around infertility.
People do the most drastic shit. Like, go adopt, you know? Like,
yeah, at that point, if nothing's working, maybe you just shouldn't have a child. I don't know. Is that fucked up to say?
I don't know. Potentially, yes, could be controversial, but...
Like, maybe it's not in the cards for you, bro.
These people shouldn't have. I'll go that far and say that.
No. So anyways, they end up moving from wherever they were. You know, she got tired of her job, and she's from a wealthy family, so she has a plethora of money. And Ted is a fucking loser deadbeat, so he just joined her.
You find out he's a deadbeat. What the fuck? What's going on here?
I know. Wait, and he's also, like, 20 years older than her.
Yeah, and you're a fucking loser, dude. Get a grip.
Which is crazy. Anyways.
She's like, he's a business of one person. I was like, you're a lame ass, dude.
Yeah.
So, lame ass loser.
So they end up in New York, like New York State. And
well, they go to get away to see if the lack of stress will help them get pregnant at last.
Whatever. Well, obviously, you know, that's not what happens. So she, like, frequents this park or something. Yeah. And there's always this woman there and she's always drawing. And her little kid, this, like, 2-year-old kid, is, like, always left to her own devices or just, like, looking at the phone. And Caroline mentions, like, I could totally raise this kid better.
So what a obnoxious thing to fucking think.
Exactly. So
you don't know how their home life is. Maybe that's their time to both decompress. Like,
yeah. So Caroline turns on her Karen mode and goes up to the mother and, like, is, like, reprimanding her on how she should raise her kid. And the woman doesn't speak English. And so, like, they're, like, you know, I guess just, like, gesturing at each other.
They're like, ah! That's it. They're just yelling like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And something like that.
Yeah. And then, like, Caroline comes back the next day and, like, the kid has chased, like, a rabbit, like, into the woods and, like, the mom hasn't noticed. So, like, Caroline has gone to the kid and she was like, I swear I was gonna, like, return her to her mom, but then, like,
yeah, Caroline, okay. Yeah,
something just came over me and I grabbed her and I ran.
And well, I was like, no, well, the mom found them. Like, the artist mom found them and started yelling at her because she was like, are you taking my child? And then Caroline fucking,
like, hits her over the head with
her tasered her. No, she tasered her.
Oh, yeah.
She fucking tasers this woman and then, like, yeah, and kills her.
Yeah, and then she goes back to the house and she's like, Ted, you have to clean up my mess. And Ted's like, okay. Like, what?
And, oh, by the way, here's this baby now.
Like, what the fuck's wrong with Ted, first of all? There's, like,
Ted clearly is a fucking loser. Like, all this part told me was, Ted, you're a fucking pussy bitch loser.
No, Ted to me came off as, like, an NPC.
Ted sucks.
I'm like, why is he here? Like, he's really done nothing for this book.
Well, and Ted, then, like Ted makes no money, and he's like, all right, babe. Okay, bury the body. Like, what a fucking lame ass.
I feel like he contributed nothing.
Well, I just think he literally is like, well, she has money. Like, she's crazy, but I can't leave her. Like, he's just such a pussy.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Ted sucks.
So they fucking kidnap this child. and it's a girl.
Yes,
and
Flora.
So they fucking shave the head and start dressing it in boys' clothes and calling it Teddy.
That's fucking sick.
And then they move to this
really cute suburban town. Hold on. Before we even fuck the town, can we talk about how fucking crazy that is? Like, just like really, like, from a stance of like, imagine this was on the news. This is insane.
I mean, I'm sure it's been done before.
I'm sure, right?
Like, it's not a, like an original thought, is it?
I mean, you know, the fact
that I've seen like 2020 videos of, or
no, I'm sure
Dateline just, videos or whatever.
Reading this, I was like, that's what's going on. And so yeah, now, so the kid really is thrown. the kid's being haunted, but by its mother, because the mom is like,
yeah,
get out of here, you poor thing. And, you know, we found out in the beginning that Teddy wets the bed a lot, which is, you know, common in childhood trauma. So there, again, there were points that you were like, think, like, but very subtly mentioned. And like, I'm like, oh, he's peeing the bed because he's being haunted by a ghost. Mm-hmm. I would understand that, you know, it's like, yeah, that would make me pee the bed. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't thinking like childhood trauma, he was stolen and it's a girl.
No, and that's
not once that crossed my mind.
No, and that was just so, it was bizarre. It was crazy.
Okay, well, so hold on. So
I mean,
yeah.
I liked it for the shock factor.
Yes.
It was not what I was expecting, but I didn't like it for the plot.
Agreed. I agree. I liked it for the shock factor. Yes, I liked it for the shock factor, but overall I was like, that's, I don't, I also didn't like it. I liked when it was like a spooky ghost. Yeah. The kid was drawing pictures. Had no idea it was going to be about child abduction and the ghost mother was haunting him. But, you know, I give points for creativity, truthfully.
I mean, I guess. But then, like, also, too, then I just felt like it was too played out, right? So it was like, now Mallory's trying to fucking overdose.
No, Caroline's trying to overdose Mallory.
Mallory, yeah. So she's going to fucking shoot her up with fucking heroin and fentanyl and kill her.
But you find out that Caroline also killed Mitzi.
Yeah, so it was Caroline who killed Mitzi.
It's all Caroline.
Yeah, and so
Caroline shoots her with it. Like,
she shoots her. She shoots her up, and she passes out. Right. Which, okay, whatever.
I don't know if she passes out. I think she, because she says like she's like hallucinating. She's like, oh, I'm dying. I think she almost probably was so scared that she like panicked and was hallucinating, because then all of a sudden fucking Ted walks in.
Yeah, now this is the thing. Now this is what I'm saying, right? So then Ted comes in. He like is like, oh, like I switched up the powder. So it was just baby powder that's in your system. Like, you're actually fine. And you're like, what the? Okay. And
then thanks,
just,
Ted.
Yeah, and then he just goes on to say like how he's like been in love with Mallory and how like he's going to save her and take care
and
of
Caroline's
her.
And Caroline's crazy and fuck the kid. I was like,
Ted. He's like, let's run away together. And I was
Ted
like,
is such a pussy though. Like, I'm sorry. Like, even that, I'm like, bro, like, you're the worst. Like, you're scared of your wife, which granted should be because she's a crazy bitch, but like, Ted's just giving like douchebag pussy finance bro. Like, you know what I'm saying though? Like, that's really like what I'm seeing from Ted. Like, he's contributing nothing.
This is what I'm seeing from Ted.
This is what Ted's giving me. He's contributing nothing. He's just listening to what Caroline's saying. He's like, okay, I'll bury the body. Like, you know, just like really just like whipped. But like, not because he's in love. Like, just because he has no fucking backbone.
And nothing else going for him.
And then they named the kid after the dad. I was like, this is so fucking icky. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, Ted's act of heroism only lasts like 5 minutes. But then, because Caroline comes and fucking shoots him in the shoulder.
You know, and he's like, I'll save you, Mallory. And I'm like now you want to be a hero?
Yeah, this
come
is
come on, Ted.
This was like the most drawn out fucking hostage escape, you know, plot
ever.
It was so ever. Long.
Because then
I don't even remember what happens after this.
So they're fighting, these two are having the fucking domestic dispute of all domestic disputes, and Mallory runs away and she's like, wait, the child. I'm like, fuck the child.
Yeah.
So Mallory runs back, gets Teddy. Caroline's like, I'm coming, Mallory. And then they run into the forest. They run into the forest, which, mind you, her and Teddy frequent the forest every day. They have their little magical adventure. So they know the paths very well. Caroline's fucking stalking them with a taser and this and that. Okay, fine. And so...
they climb up a tree.
And they had like a little stash there. Like, they collected like little arrowheads or this or that or like whatever. That was their little hideout. And then... the fucking ghost of the mother possesses the child, who takes an arrow and jumps onto his mother, Caroline, not the real mom, his kidnappy mother, and slits her throat.
His surrogate and, mother.
Yes. Slits her throat and with continues to stab her.
Repeatedly.
And, yes. And so the Mallory gets down because now the police were called by someone. They heard gunshots, whatever. Mallory, like, hugs the kid, rubs the blood all over herself, and was like, I saved us in self-defense. And I was like, this is what?
Yeah. And then, like, she mentions how, like, she saw, like, Anya's, like, figure at the end of the forest. Like, she just saved, like, oh, she just saved us, like, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, okay, now I'm over it.
And then, yeah, and then the book ends. And then there's an epilogue, which, you know, Hallie feels passionately about.
I did not like the epilogue. I thought it was unnecessary. You could have just left the book like that, and I would have been fine.
So basically, the epilogue, just long story short, they reunite Teddy, a.k.a. Flora, with her real father. He's so happy to see her. She is embracing her identity as a girl now. She's happy this way. She lives on a farm.
With all her cousins.
Yeah, it's great. It's like a nice Hungarian love fest. So then her, it was very like, I feel like it was very like foreign to me. Like just like this like foreign little family on their farm, like living off the land.
For me, it was giving like Little House on the Prairie, but okay.
I was thinking like foreign little house. I'm like, they play polka music in the nights, you know?
That's crazy because
I saw it so visually. Anyways.
Interesting.
So her and Adrian Mallory go visit Flora once they're allowed, you know, from like the social workers are like, this is fine now. Mm-hmm. And Flora could not give a fuck less about Mallory.
Yeah, she brought her, like, all these gifts, and she was, like, the dad's, like, pissed. He's, like, say thank you, Flora, like, you know, whatever.
But
and
she's, like, I don't want to think about the time of my life. I was fucking kidnapped, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, then before Mallory leaves, Flora runs and gives her a hug. So she does remember her, and she does, you know, miss her, whatever.
Yeah. And we find out, like, Mallory wrote, like, the story. Like, the book is, like, her book that she's
To
Flora, so she knows, like, what happened.
Because, obviously, the cops, like, just know the kidnapping aspect and not, yeah. like, the fact that the ghost of, you know, Anya. Oh, Anya means mother in Hungarian. Okay, wonderful. Fine. So, Anya and Annie, not the same person. One's a black woman and one is a Hungarian woman who's murdered.
No, Annie was not black.
Yes, Annie. Oh, no, Annie wasn't black. Annie was white.
Annie's child was half black because her her man was black.
Yes, correct. Sorry, my bad. Anyways, fuck it. Let's change the story. Anyways, yeah. And so, okay, fine. So obviously the cops don't know that, like, you know, this was discovered because the ghost of the mom was haunting everyone. Also, side note, don't even know how really it attaches to our conversation, but worth mentioning it. The reason Mallory's addicted to opioids is because she was driving her sister to an amusement park and crashed the car and killed her sister because she was like checking her phone. And then
don't
was,
text and drive.
Right. PSA. And then was on painkillers because she had like a bunch of surgeries, like she had a broken ribs and all this stuff, and then was depressed, and then continued to use the opioids. And then, you know, those ran out and heroin's cheaper. Okay, great. Okay, so that's what happened to Mallory. Again, I don't know if that's necessarily relevant. I don't, like, I'm glad there's a reason, I guess. And also, they connected at the end kind of like her and the mom, the ghost mom, had guilt over, like, you know, the daughter getting taken slash the sister being killed. They were bonding in their ghosty realm. Fine. Okay. So I think, okay. I think you can get a gist from us of how we feel about the end of this book. But let's talk about it. So do you want to do our ratings maybe now? And we'll also tie the end in.
Yeah. So,
okay. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the book, I appreciated it for, it was really quick to read.
So quick.
Like, the language was, like, simple, but it wasn't, like, bad writing. You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
Like, it was fine. And then it was a page-turner.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the shock factor of the book, but I didn't like the plot itself in regard to the shock factor.
Yes.
Like, I didn't like where the story went.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the whole thing with Ted. Mm-hmm. Didn't really care about it. And then the epilogue. I was like, there's no reason for an epilogue.
So what? How many stars did you give this book?
So I gave it 4 just because it was a pretty decent book. Like, I felt like it was a little bit better than just, like, your average 3.
Yes. Okay, so I gave it 4 stars as well for all the exact reasons you said. Now, I will say this, and just this is kind of a observation with me in regards to thrillers or anything in general. And I think I've talked about this briefly. I find the beginning of scary books or thrillers or, you know, any of this kind of general genre are great. The pictures was spooky. You're wondering what's happening. I often find I don't like the end of these books because when they explain it, I won't say it's stupid because that's like a little aggressive, but I don't like the endings. In this case, right, it all tied together and I was like, ooh, there was little Easter eggs pointing to that. I think it was very creative, right? I was like, wow, that was, you know, but I agree. I didn't like how it ended. But that's what I was talking to you about, like that movie Long Legs, whatever, XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like there's always an explanation for why these things happen. And I think going back to our intro conversation or like our little banter in this episode about like our favorite scary movies, etc. That's why I like the like 80s and 90s scary movies slash stories better, because oftentimes they don't explain it. Pet Sematary. Ooh, there's this magic that brings them back to life. Okay, that's it. Done. You know, Friday the 13th and Halloween, there is an explanation for, like, the villains. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, simple. Like, it's not, like, this whole overarching, oh, we stole her. And, you know, like, it just, back then, I think they also felt fine just making spooky things. Like, the Blair Witch Project. It's just fucking scary. Like, it's a ghost. We don't need no more than that. Or it's, like, a demon. That's it. That's it. There's not, like, oh, like, they built on this land and this happened. Like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I don't care about your explanation. Blair Witch could be up there for scary movie of my favorites as well. Just side note. But you know what I'm saying? And I think that's my hang up with these thriller and whatever books is like they always explain, I think, a little bit too much. Like, part of me almost wishes that it was Annie who was murdered. And they solved her murder and that was it.
Yeah, like, I think that would have been fine.
We wouldn't have had the shock factor, though.
This is true.
Like, to be honest, which this may be a weird thing to say, I think I would have liked the story better if it was Annie, the artist, who was murdered and they just found her body. I would have enjoyed that more, but I think I would have given it 3 stars because it would have just been, like, an average book. I think the 4-star was because of the shock factor it gave me, but I liked it less. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, like –
is that, like, a dumb thing to say?
No, I agree. And, like furthering that thought, like, when – in the book, when Mallory's, like, hearing all these, like, noises, like, around her little shed house, and she's, like, following the noise of, like, it – of whatever is there, like, under her floor – and she's, like, fucking ripping up the paneling or whatever. Like, if you said, and then, you know, a fucking figure came out of the ground and, like, did something crazy, like, that would have been cool, too. But it was just, like, a possum. Like, I felt like that was, like, a diversion. It was like, oh, you think it's this, but it's not.
And then, yeah, like, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that in one sense. But, like, yeah, the fact, you know, there was still paranormal because it was genuinely the kid's mom haunting her. But yeah, I just think, yeah, I think it was good for shock factor, but I was like, whoa, this is far-fetched.
Oh, but which, then also too, what we didn't mention was that the reason why Mallory was fucking hired was to serve as a distraction from Teddy's imaginary friend who Caroline knew all this time was
the mom's been haunting mother. Haunting her for a while. Also, I don't know
which I did not like that. I thought that was so fucking dumb.
Agreed. You know what's really funny? I'm just like realizing I feel like this whole episode we're like, oh, I forgot to mention. I'm like, are we okay? But honestly, you know what? Just also going off that point, oftentimes when books are like page turns like that, you almost get so sucked in that you forget like the chronological order of things and you forget things. Like, it's like the vibe. You remember the vibe of the book.
It's like a patient or like everything's so chaotic, you know? Like,
yeah, in the so you book, do it forget.
Follows, yeah, yes. Like it does yes. follow a linear progression, but like all this random shit's happening and like.
Yes. And you're like, ah, yeah, like talking back about it. And I want to compare that to last week's episode, right? And we did mention at the end of last week's episode, you know, Stephen King is like, it's not a quick read, it's not a page turner. But again, I'm sitting here. I know Victor Pascal's name. I know Judd's name. I could tell you Judd's whole story. I could tell you mm-hmm. Lewis and Rachel Creed's whole backstories because it's like it's thick. But like as a reader, you're going to remember it and remember the exact order of things in that story. This, we literally were like, what's the mom's name? What's mm-hmm. the boyfriend's name? Because it's almost like you don't get to know the characters on like a deep level. You're just like flipping. Like – I've read books like that, you know, last year, and I almost am like, I can't even really tell you the plot. Like, mm-hmm. if I, like, read a summary, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I read that. But it's one of those books, which I hate to say, but it's, like, shocking in the moment but easy to forget.
Mm.
Whereas, like, a Stephen King, like, I'll remember that for a long yeah. time. But in the mm-hmm. moment, you're reading it, and you're like, let's keep going, dude.
Yeah.
Which isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Because that's how I
feel. I wonder if it has something to do with, like, the dopamine hit, right?
Mm.
Like a book like this, like for sure was giving me like that fucking, you know, dopamine hit of like, oh my god, and like, oh my god, that happened, and like, you know what I mean? But like they're short-lived, right?
Whereas yeah, like it's done and it's over.
Yeah, whereas like Stephen King, like everything's so drawn out and you're like, oh god, this is just keeps going forever and ever and ever, but like you're really immersed in the story.
Yeah, like looking back, it sticks with you.
Yeah, because like things are repeated multiple times, whereas this is like they're just leading you all over the place to get to the ending.
That is really interesting. And so, okay, I guess maybe spontaneous conversation. Do you prefer a book that reads slow that you'll remember the story for, you know, times to come? Or do you prefer a story that's like quick page turner and then, you know, 3 months from now you might not even remember their names?
I don't know because I don't think you can categorize many books into just one of these two categories.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't feel like, you know, if we were to take the mass of, like, all the books that we've read, say, for example, mm-hmm. for this podcast, I don't think they either fall under one or the other. You know what I mean? Because there are
there
books
is
that are
gray
drawn
ground.
Out, but they're good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like it's being dragged out, even though, like, it's a little bit of a slower moving book.
Yeah, but I think they could lean toward one or the other. Like, I would argue Colleen Hoover's for me were like this one. I read them really quick, but honestly, I was like, oh, I forget their names or I forget that, you know, like it's mindless to read. And at the time when I read them, they were enjoyable for me, but like, did they stick with me? Like a lot mm-hmm. of them didn't, you know? I also just think the books that are maybe a little bit slower and stuff like that, it generally seems like they use more like advanced like literary skill, and so I appreciate that more.
They're real writers,
but like kind of, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like they literally know how to make a book stay with you, which I would argue is the art of writing.
They are like, an autist,
you know, but I don't know, like a kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like for example, Hallie and I have not dived into the world of like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones yet. I would probably think those books lean more toward like a Stephen King level of detail and like
yeah,
slow
sure.
burn.
Oh my God, Game of Thrones for sure.
But that's my point is like at least then you're invested. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. also those become series. So obviously you know the characters for like a long time. Now, are there books in the middle? Sure. Like a Harry Potter, a Twilight, a Hunger Games. You know, they're quick, but like you also it's slow burn in the sense you have a series. I think, you know, a book that is a series also has a different feel completely to it. I just think, I don't know, I like these books. I think there's a time and place for both.
Yeah, like I appreciate that we read this after Pet Sematary because like I needed something that was like brisk.
Quick.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, agreed. It was like, yeah, I needed like mindless, like I needed almost like to decompress after Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think for whatever reason, like even, so next week, just to give you guys a heads up, we're going to have actually, at this point, you guys will already have voted for which classic horror we're doing. We'll have a poll. We're just doing Frankenstein or Dracula. So vote it up. Let us know. So we'll know at this point, but we're recording before that. So sorry. So anyways, mm-hmm. but, you know, like in that case, those are books that have stayed with us for years and years and years, but they're mm-hmm. slow. Like it's heavy to read.
Yeah.
it just seems like generally, again, that the books that are kind of slow and like maybe, you know, not as enjoyable or like a page turner, or they're not so mindless, those are the ones that seem to stick around for a long time. Like, I don't foresee 100 years from now us talking about Hidden Pictures.
No. Well, I guess also, too, because there's a lot more, I wouldn't say that there's more thought put into it, but like the execution of the writing, I feel, is a lot more deliberate.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I bet you this Jason guy was just trying to do, like, a one-off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is great.
Get his name out there and whatever.
And hey, listen, we both gave it 4 stars, right? So we clearly enjoyed it. It's not, I'm not, like, hating on these books. Yeah. Again, I think there's a time and place for, like, a book that you want to, like, sit down and, like, almost, like, fucking, like
devour.
Like, dissect it and, like, whatever. Or, like, you just said, a book that you wanted to devour in one sitting and, like, not think. You just want to have fun.
Yeah.
I think there's a time and place for both.
Yeah,
for I'm not sure. Which one I like better.
I don't know.
I think I like them for different reasons.
Yeah, like you said, there's time and a place.
Like, I have to be in the mood to read Frankenstein or Dracula.
For sure.
This book, I was like, I could read this right today. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I think, again, I think the ones that impact me more are clearly the ones that are potentially a little bit slower, but, you know, are...
Because they really build the world.
More hardy.
You know, like, yes. the world building in Pet Sematary was a lot more thorough than this Hidden Pictures.
Absolutely.
You know, like, we don't have much detail about the, like, that world. The book consisted of, like, basically living at the house, right?
Yeah.
And even then, like, I can't really tell you what the house looked like. All I know is that it was huge and it had a pool.
And the way that we imagined it, whereas Pet Sematary, I bet if we both could draw, which we can't.
Yeah.
If we could draw, we would the way that the Pet Sematary, thing. Yes, we would draw the same thing. I think this book is more of like what your imagination shows you, which again, I think there's time and place for those things as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting. Interesting little food for thought based on our last two reads. Look at us.
I always feel like, you know, it's like, you know, when you were younger and you had to read a book for school and then do like a book review.
Yeah.
I always feel like
that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Just on a
like okay basis. Let me sit at my desk and talk about my book.
It's like nostalgic, but
yeah, it's cute.
But yeah, so we did like this book. I definitely see why everyone's been reading it and like holy shit, you know, because totally feel that. I'm just being a stickler and annoying, honestly. So
it's okay. I think every book we read deserves a little bit of
we gotta critique hate, a little, you know? Yeah. But we finally gave a book 4 stars, both of us. So
this is true. Yeah.
We don't typically. We're usually 1 star off from each other. So I, you know what? Good way to go, Jason. Good on you, mate.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. So we will see you guys next week. Like I said, at the point you're hearing this episode, we're gonna know what we're covering. But at this particular moment of recording, we do not. So it'll be Frankenstein or Dracula. We're bringing you way back to some classic horror.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Get really into the spooky season. We're immersing ourselves.
Yeah, we're really trying to do a lot here.
Spooky season is good for books because there are a lot of, like, spooky books. Like, we're going to try to do, like, Christmas books, but, like, you know, that's a little bit more difficult.
See...
It's, like going to be a romance.
Like, I like Christmas as a holiday, and I like Christmas vibes, but, like, I would rather honestly saw off one of my hands than watch a Hallmark movie. And I just feel know, the same. And I just know the stupid fucking book we're going to pick is going to be reminiscent of a Hallmark movie.
Well, we'll try not to.
And
give us suggestions. If you guys have any Christmas, if you're over Halloween already, which how dare you, but if you are and you're already into the holly jolly season, fa la la la, then give us some book recs. Whatever. We live to please.
Yes. Yeah, so right. We don't have to worry about that for a while, but
no.
Next week we have another spooky read for you.
Woohoo!
And
spooky season.
Hope everyone's enjoying the fall weather, and hopefully, you know, the seasonal affective disorder hasn't affected people too.
Oh God! All right. Well, on that note, we hope we give you the dopamine that you are so desperately craving.
Yeah, my cat's freaking, she's got the zoomies right now. She's, wow, she's really going crazy.
She's happy that we're recording. Okay.
I don't know what it is.
Well, anyways, we will see you guys next week for some kind of classic horror.
Yep. See you there. Be square.
Right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.